Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Milwaukee, start your engines. It's time to talk about all things racing. NASCAR, IndyCar, sports cars, and Formula One. This is the Final Inspection Show, presented by the legendary Great Lakes Dragway in Union Grove. Now, here's your host, Steve Zocchi.
Welcome to the Final Inspection Show, brought to you by the legendary Great Lakes Dragway in Union Grove, along with David Hobbs Honda, and of course the Father's Day extravaganza, as I've been calling it, at the Milwaukee Mile this weekend. Make sure to get out to the Milwaukee Mile tomorrow, and you're going to see some good racing. I was out there earlier today getting some interviews, working on the show, and it is shaping up to be a pretty cool event. We have cars on the racetrack as we speak at the Milwaukee Mile, and we'll be talking more about that. And in fact, let's kind of go through the itinerary of the show today. So coming up next, we're going to have Jim Tradel on the show. We'll be talking about not only about the racing at the Milwaukee Mile coming up tomorrow, but also ARCA late model, the stock car series, I should say, was in Madison last night and had a pretty interesting race there. So we'll talk a little bit about that with Jim Tradel. We also talked with Dennis Michelson of D-Mike Media and get caught up in the world of NASCAR and stock car racing and seeing what's going on there. And then at the top of the hour, in the 1 o'clock hour, we'll be talking with Indy Lights driver Aaron Tielitz, who will be racing in the Indy Lights race at Road America this coming weekend. Lots of racing going on at Road America coming up. And then also we'll have David Hobbs on the show. We'll be talking about the controversy in the Canadian Grand Prix. And also, let's not forget, who I just spoke with earlier today, Rich Bickle Jr., of course, the NASCAR driver, Wisconsin legend, is running this weekend at the Milwaukee Mile. So we'll be chatting with him, getting caught up with what's going on in the life of Rich Bickle. Always interesting interview, interesting fella, and a fan favorite. So certainly looking forward to that. And joining me in studio today, it is Mitch Ross, pitch hitting for the Polish Pipe Bomb.
Rich Bickle, you can get in trouble in saying that one on the radio.
Rich Bickle Jr.
There's a lot of ways you can go there saying that one if you're not careful.
Yeah, he's a fan favorite. He's been around. He's been racing since he was a teenager in the late 70s and retired, and is coming back and just kind of racing here and there, picking the races he wants to be in. And of course, the Milwaukee Mile is one that he wants to cross off as a track where he has not won yet, but wants to race. And this would be pretty cool if Rich could go out there tomorrow and win the race tomorrow.
And what's the weather? I mean, was the weather holding?
Looks good.
It's okay.
It's warm out there now.
Yeah, yeah.
They're talking.
That was
this
really windy yesterday.
Yes,
winds which I can't believe would help matters.
We were doing some setup at the Milwaukee Mile yesterday at the track, and it was windy. And the tents nowadays, the people who make the tents and set up the tents for a living, they got it down to an art because those things didn't move. They got it. So there's some tents out there, those little pop-up tents.
Yeah, it's not just a couple, you know, plastic.
Yeah, I would not advise doing that yesterday because I guess they had wind gusts up to 45 miles an hour in Milwaukee.
Yeah, it was definitely pretty. I know I was at the station here last night. I got home after the on-deck show. I was getting ready to settle in and watch the Brewer game last night, and I'm just hearing weird noises, and it's like, oh, that's the wind. Okay. And then all day yesterday was rough. But just looking out the window here in Hales Corners, I mean, it doesn't look too bad, so hopefully, you know, things kind of clear up.
The weather, it's clouding up a little bit, but they're saying that there's a cold front that's coming through. But right now, if you're sitting out in the sun,
yeah, it's like 80 degrees.
You get a little sweat on your brow. So actually, when the winds change this afternoon, it might actually feel pretty good because the temperature should drop about 15 degrees or so. It'll be worse if you're closer to the race or to the lakefront. But if you're at the racetrack today, you know, about 15 degrees, well, okay, you go from 80 to 65. That actually might be a bit of a relief for you this afternoon.
Yeah, and so now it's been how many years since they had a race at the Mile?
3 years.
Okay.
3 years, and
so no pressure.
We've been running some vintage. Well, there's been racing at the mile, but not your traditional oval track racing. They've been doing some drag racing, street drags out there. I'm involved in the organization. We do a vintage IndyCar event the weekend after the 4th of July. And next month we'll be doing it July 12th and 13th. It'll be our 25th year in doing that for the Harry Miller Club. Lots of activities going on there. But this is the first traditional where we got four racing series out there. We got a 100-lap late model race going out there tomorrow. And this is a chance for people who have been saying, oh, yeah, they should be, they should race it. Well, get your butt out there. Tickets are reasonable. You can get them there. I think day of the race, if you wait till the day of the race, they're $30. If you go to Menards, you can get a discount.
It's like 20, right?
Yeah, $20 or $25. Mm-hmm. And I mean, that's a good price. And you're going to have not only are you going to have the late model racing, we have full field out there. I saw those cars, good looking cars out there. They have vintage stock cars out there, and including a Dick Trickle late model tribute car, which I'll be posting.
What about Rich Bickle?
Rich Bickle will be out there in the 45 out there, but not in the vintage series. He's racing in the big show. And then not only that, we have the mid-am stock cars, which always put on a good race out there. They've been out at the Milwaukee Mile before. And the vintage racing, the vintage Indy registry, which is vintage Indy cars, and they got about 28, 30 cars out there. Real nice collection of not only Indy roadsters, but your rear engine cars. They have a Bill Simpson Cheetah Chevrolet that ran at Milwaukee in 69 and 70. We have a couple of Dan Gurney Eagles out there. One of Mark Donahue that Mark Donahue drove in 1973. There's a Bobby Unser Olsenite Eagle from 1972 out there. So lots of different vehicles out there for the fans to take a look at. And what's cool about the Vintage Indy Registry, you can walk up to the cars, talk to the owners, they'll tell you all about the car. So a lot of neat things going on at the Milwaukee Mile. So I tell you what, let's take a quick break now. And then when we come back, we'll talk to Jim Tradel, who's at the Milwaukee Mile, and get the latest with him. And we'll talk more about the Milwaukee Mile and lots of things coming up as the racing series or racing season is certainly heating up. And finally, the weather's heating up too in Wisconsin. So you're listening to the Final Inspection Show brought to you by the legendary Great Lakes Dragway in Union Grove, along with David Hobbs Honda. And don't forget, the Father's Day extravaganza racing at the Milwaukee Mile has returned Father's Day tomorrow. Make sure you get out there. Final Inspection Show brought to you by the legendary Great Lakes Dragway in Union Grove, along with David Hobbs Honda, and of course the Milwaukee Mile extravaganza occurring tomorrow. Make sure you get out there to the Milwaukee Mile as racing has returned to the venerable Speedway, and the fans have requested it, and Bob Sargent of Track Enterprises has brought it back. In fact, joining us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline, it is Bob Sargent from Track Enterprises. Bob, welcome to the show, sir.
Hey, thank you very much.
Well, this is pretty cool. I was out there earlier this morning, and we had a quick chat, and it's kind of neat going out to the Milwaukee Mile and seeing the pit and paddock full of race cars. It's kind of exciting, isn't it?
Yeah, very exciting. You know, they just rolled in this morning, and campers everywhere. We've got all these race cars and these big expensive haulers, and as you said, we're on track now with practice. They're rotating through the different divisions, and man, the cars are fast, and this looks like it's going to be a great day for tomorrow.
And it looks good, too. Of course, the headliner is the ARCA Midwest Tour. And, these are late model cars, but these are good-looking cars. I mean, these are late model. They're quick cars, but they're sharp-looking cars, and a lot of young drivers, too, in the series. And I think, that, you know, we're going to have Rich Bickle on the show later, but you got Ty Majeski and a few other drivers. Who are some of the guys that we should look out for in this series?
Well, you know, as you said, those two there, Travis Braden, you know, he's an ARCA driver. There's just a lot of good guys out here that can win this race. I mean, we get up in the mid-40s in car count, that means they all have to run hard, and there's a lot of quality cars. So, you know, we do expect a lot of super late model 100-lap race. It's going to be a big event there at 3 o'clock tomorrow. But all these other race cars are going to put a good show on, too, in trucks. We don't want to forget them. And we've got the Vintage Indy group here on exhibition. So just a little bit for everyone.
It certainly is. And I saw those guys out there earlier, too. And then also the mid-AM cars, which have been a stalwart on the short tracks in Wisconsin for a while now. And when they race at the mile, they certainly put on a good show. And this is kind of their Super Bowl for a lot of these drivers, isn't it?
It is. It's Super Bowl for a lot of them, even the super late models. You know, this is such a nice facility. It's clean. It's well-maintained. Safety's a number one. Just everything's good about this facility. And it is a larger track that we get to do once a year.
And we had you on the show earlier, and I think the good news for the fans is that the infield is going to be open. So if they want to come out to the race tomorrow, they can certainly tailgate and bring a grill in and do some cooking in the infield, can't they?
We encourage it. You know, it's Father's Day. We kind of put this together on purpose over the winter of Father's Day. Bring the family out, bring the kids, play the frisbee and football there in the infield. So we got a discounted price in the infield, $20 per person. Again, just a different type way of spending your Sunday afternoon. And anybody else, let's go to the grandstand. There's plenty of tickets left. Just come out here tomorrow and get them in the grandstand.
It's certainly a lot of fun when you do a race like this, because you'll see a lot of people, especially a big event like this. There's certainly a lot of people that come out to the track that you may not have seen in a while. Are there any fellas that you've seen at the track that, I haven't seen this guy in a few years? It's really good to see him.
Oh, you know, we run into people like that all the time, you know, and, you know, Tim Dell, Rose Holt, the IndyCar owners here, just a lot of different people will be here tomorrow, especially. So, you know, you never know who you're going to run into to get autographs, but we, along with the whole show all day long, we want to remind the family, the dads and kids, you can come down after the race to get autographs of these drivers.
And more importantly, what time do the gates open tomorrow?
Gates are going to open actually at 7 a.m. in the morning for the infield to get going. We'll be practicing at 9, and grandstand tickets will be open, I believe, at 9 o'clock.
And, of course, you're a busy guy, and I had a couple people ask me, is this, you know, all that Bob does? I said, well, Bob has a lot of tongs in the fire. So talk to the listeners, what are some of the other, of course, you probably had one of the biggest Hoosier hundreds in a while, unfortunately, which is going away at the Indiana Fairgrounds, but Silver Crown and a lot of other races on your agenda too.
Yeah, we're proud of what All Track Enterprises does. I think we're in 14 different states, about 24 different facilities, probably about 80 races a year we do. So encourage everybody to look at trackenterprises.com. The old Illinois State Fair is coming up with ARCA and USAC, the Coin State Fair. We've actually got a super late model race up here at Wilmot, July 2nd. You know, we do World of Outlaws and USAC at Terre Haute. So, again, we're all over the country. We've got a pavement race at Elko, Minnesota coming up, Gateway. So, just again, trackenterprises.com, and you can check out our whole schedule.
Okay, Bob. Talking about Bob Sargent with Track Enterprises, who's at the Milwaukee Mile. What series is on the track right now?
Supers just got off, and now we've got Vintage on here. Yep.
Very good. Well, Bob, we certainly appreciate you taking time out on the Final Inspection Show, and get out to the Milwaukee Mile tomorrow. Father's Day, you know, Father's Day is not him mowing the lawn and then having him grill something. Father's Day is letting him go out to the racetrack and enjoy himself, isn't it, Bob?
Absolutely. You know what? If you really have to, you can do all the above. We'll be out of here at 5 o'clock tomorrow and go home and do your dinner then. Do your dinner in church before you come out to the track, but really encourage everybody to come on up the track tomorrow afternoon.
All right. That's Bob Sargent from Track Enterprises. Bob, we certainly appreciate it. I'll see you in a couple hours when I'm back at the track.
Sounds good. And we also have the drag races tonight. So
all right. Fantastic. Bob Sargent from Track Enterprises joining us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline.
Looking to buy, build, renovate, or refinance in 2019? Look no further and call Great Midwest Bank today. Great Midwest Bank, providing simply local common sense lending to your community since 1935.
Joining us next, we're going to have Dennis Michelson from D-Mike Media. We're going to talk some NASCAR and all sorts of racing kind of coming up next on the Final Inspection Show.
Final Inspection. Final Inspection. Now,
Dennis Michelson of D-Mike Media is here to give us the inside track on NASCAR and the world of short track racing.
And welcome back to the Final Inspection Show, brought to you by the legendary Great Lakes Dragway and David Hobbs Honda. And joining us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline from D-Mike Media, it is Dennis Michelson. Welcome to the show, sir.
Mr. Zotke, love that interview with Mr. Bob Sargent. He's simply the best promoter in the business.
We got to start off with, I guess it's some breaking news. And this is kind of ridiculous, but I got to share this with you. Now, I did ask you if you knew about this. You didn't hear about this. So I'll just read it from speedsport.com, our friends down there, Ralph Shaheen and his group.
Oh, yeah.
Let's see here. South Dakota is who set Speedway struggling to find a buyer. Track officials are taking a radical step to find a new owner. On August 13th, who set Speedway will play host to the first of its kind 410 sprint car race that will see the winner become the new owner of the entire 70-plus acre facility, including the track, buildings, lights, website, and branding. Though the rules are for the event are unofficial at this time, track officials said in a post that each team that enters will be required to pay a non-refundable $200,000 deposit. Anyone choosing to enter after the registration deadline will be required to pay an extra $75,000. Race will feature a minimum field of 18 cars and a maximum field of 36 cars. I can tell you right now they're not going to get 36 cars. I don't even think they're going to hit 18.
I don't think they're going to get 10.
I just wanted to announce at this time that I will be having a go-kart race in the driveway of my house. Everybody brings in all they have to bring in is $100,000, and the winner will get my house. So a minimum of six entries are needed for this event, and I think that's a fair deal, huh?
I think you've got a winner here. I really do. You know, it's just you got to get innovative in today's world. You know, you got to do something spectacular to get the interest. Yeah, you know, when I heard you talking about this, this Speedway actually has an interesting history because it was owned by a guy who was involved in a day loan, like a day lending program that was tied into Native American owners. So they could get away from a lot of the rules that the government has.
Are you talking to our friend at Level 5 Motorsports?
Oh, it was crazy. So yeah. So there were a lot of things that were involved, and we've seen other guys, like you say, we've seen other guys that were involved in that business get busted and be out of racing real quick. There was a similar tie-in, not quite as unreputable, but that's where a lot of the money came from, is what I understand. And you know, they fell under hard times, like everybody has in the industry. So that's an original way to come up with a sale, but $200,000 per team, I think they set the bar a little high.
I think they did. I think it's we've seen some crazy things in auto racing through the years, Dennis, but this one is right up there, isn't it?
Yeah, it's funny. It reminds me of the Racetrack Business Conference one year where we were just having a good time talking about all the goofy stunts that you could pull at the track. And, you know, one of our guests up on the stage suggested that we go anti-political correctness and have a win a Russian bride night out at the track. This is almost as crazy to win a racetrack, but you know, I don't know. It's to me, it seems like, you know, when you said it, I thought $50,000
right
would be the price.
Right.
I thought maybe like a $50,000 stake to get into this race would be a good prize, but $200,000, they're gonna have a hard time filling that.
That's an engine. I mean, that's roughly a sprint car engine. $50,000.
Yeah.
$200,000. That's a sizable, you know, price of the of your yearly, you know, stipend?
Most of your budget.
Yeah, right.
Most of your budget. Yep.
So, I mean, I even a NASCAR Cup team, I think a lot of would struggle. I mean, not your super teams in that, but I mean, even your bigger teams in NASCAR or IndyCar would struggle with that to come up with $200,000.
Not a lot of teams have an extra $200,000 in cash that they just want to throw around.
Right.
But intriguing idea. Maybe they'll drop the value a little bit. You know, if you got 20 guys minimum at $50,000 a piece, that's still a fair amount of cash.
Okay, but
it beats having the facility empty.
Well, let's say, you know, the Dennis Michelson Racing team with Mitch Ross as its driver actually wins this thing. Do we really want this? I mean, first of all, okay, it's in South Dakota. I apologize ahead of time to any listeners in South Dakota, but not exactly the place I want to live. It's in the middle of nowhere. It's, you know, one of the hardest things to do in life right now, I think, is being a racing promoter. God bless Bob Sargent. But, I mean, that's a tough job he's doing this weekend, trying to get fans in the stands at Milwaukee. And across the country, it's not the easiest sell. In fact, any sports promotion, you got to really hustle. I mean, the Brewers here are doing quite well, but there's a lot of other Major League Baseball teams that have a hard time putting, you know, 10,000-15,000 people in the stands every day or for every game. So, I mean, it's not an easy – I mean, okay, so you win the track, but then it really gets hard. You got to run this thing, and that's definitely not an easy thing to do, is it, Dennis?
It's a good way, you know, that the old saying in racing is true. If you want to make a large or a small fortune
yes.
in racing, start with a large fortune and then go racing. And that's the same way with being a track owner. You know, it's ironic you bring this up because years ago I thought my home track, Sycamore, Illinois, where I used to live, I thought that track was going to have some issues because they were – you know, people just weren't as loyal to the track as they could be. New ownership, and now the place is soaring. But it takes a lot of work to make a very small amount of money in the racing world. And, you know, it's tough because you are literally at the mercy of the weather. You're at the mercy of competitors. And you're, you know, in South Dakota, you've got a relatively short window for racing. It's not like you're down in Texas where your race season can go from, mm-hmm. you know, February through November. Here you gotta worry about a real tight schedule, and you know, it's tough. That's a surefire way to lose more money, I think. So I don't think they're gonna get anywhere with that. But hey, a great promotion though. I love it.
Could we, in the future, could we see Monday Night NASCAR racing?
You know, the interesting thing is, yes, for trucks and Xfinity Series. I actually think that having some midweek races for the trucks in the Xfinity, if they could find the TV partner willing to do it, would be a great idea. And that's because you're not getting the crowd at the track anyway. For Cup, it's very complicated because a Cup weekend is not just like the Brewers holding a baseball game. It's a whole weekend thing, just like Bob Sargent was talking about. You know, campers on the facility that will be there all weekend. You know, it's when you have a racing event, it is a whole weekend extravaganza if you do it right. And I just can't see how that would fit with Monday Night Racing at the Cup level, because it would take away too much from the gate.
I think if we did see a return to the short tracks like the NASCAR Truck Series was originally, I think it would definitely work. Because they raced at a lot of the tracks, unfortunately, which aren't around anymore or not in the same configuration, like Flemington, New Jersey, or Mansfield, yep. Ohio, some of those tracks, or some of the tracks on the West Coast up in Oregon and Washington State, where, you know, we we've talked about this before, where those guys would come into town and it was, people were, that's where some of the hauler parades and that started, because that was such a big thing for that town, for these guys to come in and some of the big stars. And it was cool to see those guys, you know, manhandling those cars, seeing guys like Rich Bickle, who we're going to have on the show later, wrestle those trucks and that. It was entertaining. I remember those races at Mansfield, Ohio, and that, and they were really fun to watch, weren't they?
Oh my goodness. The short track version of that was fantastic. And when they would do their West Coast swing, in the old truck series, of course, that was when Craftsman sponsored them. Craftsman Tools, with the strong tie-in with Sears, the racers during the week would make an appearance at Sears stores all over the area. And in fact, the Sears auto departments would let the teams work in their garages after the store closed, so they could have their trucks ready for the next weekend of racing. So you had great sponsor tie-ins with everything. And, you know, you really have the support. But that was a brand of racing. When you had those trucks, mm-hmm. the lower tech trucks on, and it wasn't very expensive to run a truck in the Craftsman Truck Series back in the day. In fact, some of the guys had budgets that were not much more than what you would have for a late model program at a really good track. So you actually had a budget that you could go racing, and they did it in smart ways with the tour. Now everything's got to be high tech and big, and it's like, guys, I get it. You want these guys safe, but you could have a safe chassis with low tech and, you know, not much downforce, high horsepower. You know, and you could pull this off, especially on the short tracks. It would be great racing again. I'd love to see the trucks back at places like South Boston, instance. Oh, my goodness, there's so much great racing back in the day with the truck series. And, you know, bigger track-wise is not always better. And I used to love the truck series events at the mile, though. I mean, this was a time where running a mile track for the truck series was very unusual. So this was almost like their Daytona, because they were doing it before Daytona. So those races were great too, because of course the mile runs like a short track. It is a fabulous facility to go see a race. And, just like this weekend, get out there, support the Milwaukee Mile folks. Otherwise don't come complaining to me when this track is no more, mm-hmm. You're right. Truck series, when they were on tracks of a mile and less, that was the glory days of the truck series, and I think those races would be very good at night.
And the budget was where a local guy or a local team could put a package together and be part of that. So you had a lot of West Coast guys and teams that would, you know, step up into the truck series. If you look at go to Wikipedia and go look at, you know, NASCAR truck series, you know, 1995, 1996, and the amount, all the different teams that didn't run the entire series, but there's a lot of teams that maybe just ran four or five races in their area, kind of dipping their toe into the series and going to that next level, which unfortunately you're not seeing as much as you have in the past.
No, because you can't build the trucks the way you could in the past. You know, the trucks were... It used to be where, you know, if you didn't want to spend a lot of money, well, great. All you had to do is invest more time and build the trucks yourself. You could have a small staff put the truck together, or even a bush car together back in the day, you know, like Robbie Reiser and Matt Kenseth did, you know. But that was really possible in the truck series because he had even lower tech. So it was a case where guys could go ahead and, you know, you had guys, drawing a blank on the driver's name, but of course I remember the sponsor because it was delicious, when you had the Jelly Bellies truck that was running. And that was a guy that, you know, that sponsor was his local hometown sponsor that he brought up with him from the local short tracks racing at places like Bakersfield back in the day. And then when he went truck racing, he got to bring it up to the NASCAR level, and the budget wasn't a killer. You know, you were talking $200,000 was a huge budget for a truck series back then. And you know, now you, if you don't have about $5 million, forget it.
Jim Englebright, was that it?
That's the guy.
Yeah,
that is the guy.
Number, man,
it was a lot of fun.
I think 02. So yeah, it was. Yeah. Speaking of, you know, obscure, you know, Alex, I'll take obscure NASCAR drivers for 200. I when I was down in Indianapolis, I was talking to a driver, and I go, "Oh my gosh!" I said, "I saw you try to qualify at Indianapolis in '94, and it was Rich." Now I'm having a brain fart. I had it right there, and they went poof. That's why I shouldn't be on Jeopardy, because that would probably happen to me. I'll think of it in a second. Rich, anyways, I thought of Englebright. Now I forgot this one. But anyways, well, let's step up. I will interrupt you when you're answering my next question here. There's a rumor of a NASCAR team might be going away. Is this true?
Yeah, so here's what happened this week. I was talking to one of my contacts in the sport, and just out of the blue, they slammed out a big rumor, and I was like, and it got me thinking. It's like, it's one thing when you see a smaller team that has to drop out of NASCAR, but if we lose one of the major teams, and I'm not even going to even speculate and mention, because this is a rumor that is unsubstantiated, I don't want to start costing guys their jobs or, you know, scrambling for a new job or whatever. But if it was true, I'm looking at this as a case of, if we see a major team cut back now and all of a sudden they drop their NASCAR program, are we looking at a case where this is a big sign that NASCAR has some serious trouble on the way? I mean, we're looking at thin fields. That's fine, because I don't care if 30 cars show up, as long as 25 of them are a competitive group, you're going to have a good race. I really don't care about the 36th through 40th guys at the track. It's a horrible thing to say, but they weren't going to be a factor in the race anyway. But if all of a sudden the top 25 team bows out, that is a sign that you're in real trouble. And right now what's going on with NASCAR, of course, is they don't have a title sponsor lined up for next year. And they're talking about doing some, you know, fancy footwork with multiple title sponsors throughout the year. And whenever you hear somebody talking about doing something like that, you know what it means. They're not getting their price. So if they're not getting their price, that money goes into the points fund, and now it actually goes into paying off these charter teams along with the TV money. If that money that pays out the teams substantially drops again, like it did when we went from Sprint to Monster Energy, you're talking a change that teams are not ready for, because the cost of racing keeps going up.
Yeah, it certainly is. Rich Woodland Jr. was the driver I was thinking of.
Oh, wow. That is an obscure name.
Yeah. Winston West driver. And the deal was, they brought out a bunch of Winston West drivers to the Brickyard to kind of add drivers. I think they had 76 some drivers, I think, take qualifying times. And they had one provisional for one of the guys from the Winston West teams was going to make it. That was Mike Chase, who made the field on a provisional. So yeah, that was I still remember that that second round qualifying. And I mean, talk about exciting. That was exciting seeing those guys. Tim, I think it was Tim Steele, started to crash in turn one and ended up down the backstretch. Saved it, hit the wall, saved it, hit the wall. It was incredible. A lot of fun.
Indy put up a huge purse for
it
that
was,
race,
yeah.
Compared to, if you look at the purse money that was available for that race versus like the next 20 races in NASCAR, the only one that had a bigger purse was the Daytona 500.
Mm-hmm.
Even traditional races like the World 600 back then didn't have anywhere near the purse that what Indy put up. So they took a big gamble. putting that much money on the line, and they certainly got the team showing up. And that, again, was back in the day when you could, you know, build a car and go racing four or five times a year and afford to do it, but, and afford to live off the purse money that you won. You know, that's the big difference between now and then, is now the purse money, or in this case, the charter money that they win, only makes up maybe a quarter of their budget.
Mm-hmm. Roger Penske, about a month and a half ago, I think it might have been 2 months ago, said NASCAR needs to move up their next generation cup car. And, you know, Roger's one of these guys, when Roger speaks, a lot of people, you know, listen. He's one of these guys, you know, if he says, well, maybe we should think about this, that's his way of saying, you guys better do this. And I guess Roger stated earlier this week, he's looking at a shorter schedule in NASCAR.
Yeah, and that's the thing is, like you say, there's certain people when they talk in NASCAR, you kind of just nod your head and go, okay, that's fine. You know, when I hear a lot of the drivers talk, it's like, okay, you know, great, that you just want a shorter work schedule during the year. That's one thing. But when you hear an owner that has done it all, like Roger Penske, but is not only a great team owner, but a great businessman, you know that he has looked at this and thought it through as more than just a whim of saying something. So there's something that Roger sees that he thinks could be done. And when it comes to racing, I think I'll trust Roger Penske's opinion over just about anybody else.
Yeah. One of the most respected men in motorsports, but also not only that, but just in the world of business, you know, Roger's one of these guys, you know, he does everything good, and that's why everybody hates him. No, I'm just kidding.
He gets out of the track ownership business just in time before the market starts going down. He's got a pretty good read on everything financially.
Yes, he does. He certainly does. And I guess drivers are upset about Joey Logano jumping to restart. Drivers have always been upset whoever wins on the restart. Isn't that true?
Oh, absolutely. But here is the ironic thing that goes on in NASCAR when it comes to the restarts, is they're still calling this over what it looks like out there. They've got all this high-tech data. You can see if the guy accelerated early. You can GPS his location right on the track, and you can know exactly where it happened. They use all this high-tech stuff to penalize a team on pit road when all the guy does is have one finger touch pit lane when he's over the wall,
right?
You know, trying to grab a tire. And if he touches the wall, that's a safety violation. And, you know, you instantly have the team penalized. But when it comes to restarts, they're still calling it off of the looks instead of the technology. The technology is a slam dunk. It would let you know. And of course the drivers are going to take advantage of it, because if you're not calling it real strict off the technology, they're going to get away with it.
Yeah, it's just, yeah, it does get frustrating. It certainly does. Speaking of frustrating, I shouldn't say that, but NASCAR's in Iowa. I love Iowa. I was just in Iowa a couple weeks ago for a National Sprint Car Hall of Fame Induction Committee meeting, and also for their inductions and at the Hall of Fame. The people in Iowa are so nice. NASCAR is out there running at Iowa Speedway, and it's one of the funnest tracks to go to from a fan's perspective, isn't it?
Oh, I love that place. I was at the very, very first race at Iowa Speedway when the old Hooters Cup Series raced there, and also saw the first ARCA race there, saw the first NASCAR race there. It is a facility. It's a short track, mm-hmm. but it's a short track with sort of a super speedway feel to it. And it was the first track of its kind to be built with a safer barrier around the entire track. I mean, they were ahead of their time and really thought this out. It's one of the more safe facilities out there, but it is such a fan. It's a fan-friendly place. It's easy to get on and off Interstate 80. The track facility itself is great, and you're right. Iowa hospitality. I got neighbors. Well, I've got a lot of relatives in Cedar Rapids, and I can tell you that old Iowa charm is a real thing, and they really have it on display at Iowa Speedway.
Dennis, thank you. We appreciate you coming on the show as always, and how things are good in Central. Where I guess was it Central Illinois? I guess I should say in your secret lair.
Technically, East Central Illinois. How about that? It's beautiful down here, and we had some excitement. One of my D-Mike Media clients got discovered by the Memphis Grizzlies basketball team. Worked for a semi-pro basketball team, and our interview with Ishmael Nance got him recognized and has him down in training camp for rookies, rookie tryouts this weekend. So always fun when you can have that happen, and always some exciting stuff going on at D-Mike Media.
All right, appreciate it. Also, frontstretch.com too, correct?
Absolutely. Writing at Front Stretch, my odds and ends column can be seen late Wednesday night, early Thursday morning, and there is so much great coverage over at Front Stretch. Three favorite places to go for racing news, Speed Sport, Front Stretch, and JSki.com is back. So that's good news, too.
All right, very good. Dennis Michelson, appreciate joining us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. You're listening to the Final Inspection Show, brought to you by the legendary Great Lakes Dragway in Union Grove, along with David Hobbs Honda.
This is Final Inspection with Steve Zocchi.
Presented by the legendary Great Lakes Dragway in Union Grove.
On 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Welcome back to the Final Inspection Show, brought to you by the legendary Great Lakes Dragway in Union Grove. Make sure to check out greatlakesdragway.com. Also, make sure to check out their social media feeds, especially Facebook, for up-to-date updates on weather and such. And make sure you get out to Great Lakes Dragway this weekend. Also, like to thank David Hobbs Honda, davidhobbs.com, for all the best in new and used vehicles. And it's Steve Zocchi along with Mitch, the mayor, Mayor Mitch Ross. How are you doing, sir?
I'm doing fantastic today. Obviously, the Milwaukee Miles alive again this weekend.
Yes,
and,
it is.
And what are your some of your favorite things and memories about the Milwaukee Mile over the years, Steve? You've been around for quite a while.
Quite a while.
You know, I hate to remind you, but
I'm not the oldest guy here at the. There's two people older than me, thankfully. No, three. So that's good. Not counting the big guy.
But, I mean, you've been doing this for how many years?
Yeah,
30?
I've been.
Late 80s?
Professionally, I've been doing it for 25 years.
Doesn't so early that. 90s?
Yeah.
That's what I thought. Somewhere in there.
Actually, I take that back.
About as long as I've been alive, Steve.
Oh, gosh. That's just.
I'm going to be 30 in like a month.
Oh, you're an old man.
No, in like 2 weeks.
You're an old man.
Yeah, it sucks.
Wow.
It stinks.
I've been going out there since I was a kid, and I was somebody asked me that yesterday, and I said, yeah, well, the first time I went to the mile, I was not happy about it because it was a stock car race, and back when they were running the Hemis.
And you were how old?
I was probably about four.
Did your parents have a little headset for you?
No, not
back then.
No ear protection, no.
Now they got kids at basketball games wearing those things.
Right.
Like, that's loud.
So the I don't even know what the decibel level of a
kind of explains a lot, you know,
of a Hemi. Yeah, it was quite painful, literally. And I was not happy with the noise. But you know, anything with sports, you know, I was talking about the first Brewer game I went to, and when I walked into County Stadium, the first thing you notice is how bright and green the grass is.
Yep.
And you know, same thing with a racetrack. When you go to a racetrack the first time, you see how bright the cars are. Everything when you go to a sporting event like that, it seems like everything is brighter. And just being
like then it looks on TV and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I remember the first time I went to Lambeau, you walk out into the from the concourse into you know, the bowl, and it's like, man, this field's kind of small.
In a way,
it looks so big on TV. And then the actual field when you see it and you walk out and like the field goal posts are really cool to me, seeing right. those things
and how bright they are,
how bright yellow they are. Yeah. And just like, you know, the little tassels waving and you know, just like how small the field looked.
Did you know the Packers played at the Milwaukee Mile?
Did they?
Yes. In fact, the
how did that
1939
happen?
Championship game was played there.
Oh, jeez.
The NFL championship game against the New York Giants.
So we're going way back.
So if you've been to the Milwaukee Mile.
I thought you meant like 1990 or something.
No.
That was County Stadium, though.
But, yeah. Well, and that was how Green Bay insured itself, because the part of the gold package, the gold ticket package and all that. Well, you know, people go, I don't know how Green Bay survived. Well, how did Green Bay survive? By playing four games in Milwaukee. So they played at the Milwaukee Mile. And then when they built County Stadium, that's when they moved over to County Stadium. Because don't forget, when they built County Stadium, Milwaukee didn't have a baseball team.
Right.
Imagine that happening now. So they built this huge stadium with, we're hoping to get baseball. But, you know, they did have the Packers were playing their games there. But, yeah, at the Milwaukee Mile in 1939, they won, I think, 37-0. And what they did was the playing field was to the south end of the paddock. So roughly where the track is now, just behind the pit area and towards the south end, and then they would set up temporary bleachers on the other side. In fact, that white building that's right in the middle of the infield where there's still bathrooms in that, on that north end, there's still locker rooms in there from where the players played.
Yikes.
And that and then in the 60s and 70s, that's where a lot of the race car drivers then would change into their uniform before the race was in there.
Well, they still have the original locker rooms at Wrigley Field, I think, too. So I guess it's not.
I've heard that.
Not. I think for the visitors, at least, it's really crappy. But yeah, That's crazy.
But for stock car racing, of course, you know, just the USAC stock car racing in the 70s and seeing guys like, you know, Ramos Stott and Bate Arnell, Norm Nelson and all those guys race, and Bobby Unser in the K&K Insurance Dodge and all that. And plus IndyCar racing, you got Mike Mosley, of course, in the Dan Gurney Eagle winning from last to first in 1981. So make sure you get out to the Milwaukee Mile tomorrow, Father's Day. Should be a good time. Weather should be fun. So get out there for the ARCA late models and see some of those vintage Indy cars I used to run at the Milwaukee Mile. So should be a lot of fun. Coming up next, we're going to be talking with Indy Lights driver Aaron Tielitz as Road America and the IndyCar Series is coming to Road America next week. Coming up next on the Final Inspection Show.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.